Now, friends, I consider it very much worthwhile to spend this time with these first two psalms, as they're more or less of an introduction. And as I have already indicated, there is a very close connection in these psalms. They are not really totally unrelated, and they're arranged in a very definite order. And I think that's one of the more noticeable features about the book. There is this systematic arrangement, and they were not just put together in a haphazard way. And in the first psalm here, why, actually what we have is the perfect man and the happy man. That's the last Adam, the Lord Jesus. I consider it a messianic psalm, though it's not quoted as such in the New Testament. But now when we come to Psalm 2, we do find a psalm that is truly the first messianic psalm, and it is so quoted in the New Testament. There are about seven definite quotations in the New Testament from this psalm here. You find it in Acts 4 and Acts 13, Hebrews 1, references to it in Revelation 2 and 12 and 19. About seven different, very definite references in the New Testament to this psalm, so we can call it truly a messianic psalm. And it's one of 16 psalms that are truly messianic. But as we've already indicated before, we believe actually that all the psalms speak of him. This book of Psalms is truly a hymn book, and it's really all about him. And so in Psalm 1, the perfect man, the happy man. But in Psalm 2, we have the rebellious man. We see mankind in rebellion against God. What a picture this is of Genesis. And this is the Genesis section of the book of Psalms. Man created perfect. Adam, number one, in the Garden of Eden. And what happened? He became a rebellious man, ran away from God, no longer seeking God, but actually getting away from him, and no capacity for him. We find that now in the children of Adam, mankind, if you please, in Psalm 2. Now, Psalm 2 has been called the drama of the ages. It has also been labeled not only that, but it contains a decisive declaration concerning the outcome of events and forces that are at work in the world today. You have this psalm divided, I think, here as you would divide not so much a drama or so much a play, but I look upon it rather as a television program. And what you have here is a camera on earth and a camera in heaven. And that's very dramatic, by the way, because we've in our day been treated to a camera on the moon, and we've been seeing pictures from the moon. That's quite exciting. And then we have been seeing pictures that were taken from Mars by a mechanical device that apparently is rotating around the planet Mars. And that, again, is quite exciting. But here you have a camera on Earth, but you also have a camera in heaven. And it goes something like this. First of all, mankind comes on camera. And you have the camera on Earth on. And we have little man playing his part. As Shakespeare expressed it, little man that struts and performs his little part on the stage of life and then passes off. Even individuals are not here very long. 70 is pretty good length of time for any individual on this earth. And actually, mankind hasn't been on this earth too long. Mankind is a sort of a, shall we say, Johnny-come-lately, and man plays his little part. Then the camera on earth goes off, camera in heaven comes on, and God the Father has a word to say. And then the camera shifts to his right hand, and God the Son speaks his part. And then the camera in heaven goes off, the camera on earth comes on, and the final word is given by God the Holy Spirit on earth as he gives a word of warning and a word of wooing to mankind here upon this earth.